Please subscribe and leave a review of Dorky wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can support the pod if you'd like. You can use PayPal or Buy Me a Coffee. There are links to both methods on Dorky's website and in the show notes of this episode. Thank you so much. Before the episode, let me tell you about an amazing online boutique that I just know you're going to love. Save Boutique is a great place for clothes, accessories, and shoes. One of the great things about Save is that it's size inclusive. Most items Save offers are available in sizes from small to 3X, and they're looking into ways to offer even more sizing options. They also drop new items every week, so there's always new things to choose from. They even offer 3 buy now, pay later options: Shop Pay, Klarna, and Afterpay. One last thing, they're offering a discount to Dorky listeners. Just enter the code Dorky, that's DORKEY, all caps, no spaces, for a 10% discount. I even put a link to Save Boutique in the description notes of this episode that will take you directly there and automatically apply the discount. So check out the amazing clothes, accessories, and shoes Save Boutique has to offer. You'll be so glad you did. Hello, this is Dorky. I'm your host, April. This is a podcast about history. I'm going to be discussing events, people, and sometimes just random things from history that interest me. I am absolutely not a historian. I'm just a dork who spends a lot of time watching, reading, listening to anything I can get my hands on about history, and I want to talk about it. I think a lot can be learned from looking into the past, and I'd like to share what I've learned, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of 2023's Spooktacular. I don't think there's anything much better than a good ghost story, especially around Halloween. Then I found these ghost stories about Mount Vernon, which was George Washington's home, and I just knew I'd have to share them. So, let's get started. In the early years of the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, when the ladies were at Mount Vernon, they would sleep in the mansion. The following account was reported in the New York World newspaper in 1890. Of course, the most interesting of all the bedrooms is the one belonging to the immortal George and in which he died. In it is the original 4-poster bed whereon Washington passed his last moments. This historic chamber is haunted. Of that, there would seem to be little doubt. Many people within recent years have slept in it, and they declare that they were awed by the viewless presence of the nation's first president. They deny earnestly that the notion is based on imagination. Few of these temporary occupants have been able to get any sleep. Obviously, it is one thing to see a ghost, and quite another thing to feel one, to be aware of the nearness of a strange and brooding specter. They all agree that Washington visits his chamber in the still watches of the night. Mrs. William Beale and a friend of hers spent a night at Mount Vernon. At their own request, they were permitted to occupy Washington's bedroom. In the middle of the night, they were awakened by the sputtering of their candle. They had lighted one surreptitiously and were burning it in the middle of a basin of water. Fancied they saw a spook. It went out with a noise, and they began to feel alarmed. Mrs. Beale said to her friend, "You are on the side of the bed where Washington died." The other replied, "No, I'm not. He died on your side. Finally, they decided that the question was doubtful, and there was no more sleep for them that night. They got up, dressed themselves, and sat around until morning, scared by every squeak of the windows, and at one moment were sure they heard Washington's sword clank distinctly in a corner. During a typical day at work in the 1980s, while stationed in the Central Passage, something caught an interpreter's eye. She saw the figure of an unidentified woman dressed in 18th century clothing on the stairs. The figure was carrying a large punch bowl filled with a flower arrangement. The figure disappeared upon reaching the bottom of the staircase. An interpreter thought she heard someone in the room behind her. Thinking that a visitor had gotten into the area by going under the rope barriers, she entered the little parlor to shoo them out. Much to her surprise, she found an older gentleman sporting a large mustache and dressed in late 19th or early 20th century clothing, with his sleeves rolled up and secured with garters. When he saw that he had her attention, he shouted, "What the hell is going on here?" A reference to the noise a school group or groups were making. The interpreter told him that she was trying to quiet them down, and then the man disappeared. She later saw a portrait of the gentleman in question, Colonel Harrison Howell Dodge, Mount Vernon's director for about 50 years, until his death in the late 1930s. An interpreter was standing in the Central Passage. She felt something brush past her, coming out of the little parlor. All she could see were the feet and bottoms of the skirts of a young girl in an 18th century dress running across the Central Passage. Quite frequently, an alarm would go off in the stable. Then, in about the time it would take to unsaddle and put up a horse and walk from the stable to the mansion, an alarm would go off in the Washington bedchamber. Guards dispatched to check out the situation invariably found nothing out of the ordinary. This man's explanation was that the general was coming home, made his horse comfortable, and then went up to his room. A member of Mount Vernon's security department recalled unexplainable activities in 2012. My first experience with something that I cannot explain occurred in the mansion during the early years of the candlelight tours. The event took place on the anniversary of General Washington's death around 10:30 p.m. After the house had been cleared, I locked myself in. It was my responsibility to check the alarms for their proper positioning. When I was in the mansion study, I heard a heavy set of keys being walked across the floor in the Washington bedchamber directly above. As I approached the back stairs to go up to the bedroom, the sound of the keys abruptly stopped. It was well known that General Washington carried a heavy set of keys and that they could be heard as he walked through the house. Tobias Lear, the general's secretary, is known to have taken the keys from the general's pocket upon his death in order to hand them over to his manservant, Christopher Shields. In 1799, the year of Washington's death, the Yellow Room was the most expensively furnished guest bedchamber in the house. A 2006 supervisor from the History Interpretation Department recalls her first encounter in this room. My first encounter with a ghost occurred in the Yellow Room of the mansion in 2006. I was a supervisor in the History Interpretation Department. Supervisors
clear and lock the mansion after checking and rechecking for assurance that no one has been left in the mansion after hours. After letting the last interpreter out of the study door, I walked up the back stairs, past the Washington bedchamber, and into the yellow room. I suddenly felt myself being pushed, feeling the pressure of someone's hands on the back of my shoulders. I turned to look, and no one was there. It was obvious I wasn't wanted in the yellow bedchamber. This happened several more times, and I decided I would not go back upstairs alone. I invited another interpreter to stay with me and travel the back stairs to the yellow room. Nothing happened. The next time, when I was alone, I was once again pushed through the room. To keep this from being disturbed, I felt it was best that I not use the back stairs, but to remove my shoes and cross through the downstairs bedchamber to the central passage and lock the door for the evening. An interpreter from 2006 explains what happened to her at George Washington's tomb. The first time I experienced this ghost was Easter morning in 2006, when I was scheduled to open George Washington's tomb. It was early and very quiet, and there was no one around. The guests had not made their way from the mansion. I stood in front of the open door, and I saw an ectoplasm in the far right corner of the tomb. When I moved, the ectoplasm moved. I watched as it became a blur in my vision, and it continued to move around. I took a photo that showed a streak of light through the blur. The second photo showed the blur. As soon as voices of the guests coming down the hill could be heard, the ectoplasm disappeared. This happened on three different occasions. A member of Mount Vernon's youth programs team recounts her experience. Originally, my office was located in the Teacher Resource Center of the Education Center. It was after hours, and the staff had left. I gathered my coat and bag and set them on the table facing my desk. As I turned to put on my coat, I saw a female figure standing in the door of my office. She was dressed in clothing from the Civil War period, and she was totally gray. Her complete body and clothing were gray. She stood in the doorway, looking straight ahead without moving. Her stare was very stern. It happened quickly, and then she was gone. There was no doubt in my mind that Anne Pamela Cunningham, founder of the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, had been in the room. I stayed for a while, sitting quietly as I listened to the noises of cabinet doors opening and closing in hands-on history. But when I looked to see who was there, the room was empty. One night in the 2010s, a couple of security officers were driving around the Mount Vernon grounds very late at night. They saw a little girl on the path ahead of them, so they stopped suddenly. Then the girl appeared right next to them. They quickly spun around and drove away as fast as they could. A character interpreter tells what she experienced inside the mansion in 2017. I've worked at Mount Vernon on and off since 2004. I most recently returned in January of 2017. The estate was abuzz with the latest spooky story. On December 15th, 2016, some strange sounds were heard coming from the third floor, and there had been reports of the temperature dropping by 20 degrees. When the tale was shared with me, I was determined to see if it would happen again. On December 14th, the anniversary of the general's death, I was on the third floor waiting for some haunting, but nothing happened. However, when I returned the next night, the vibe in the area had changed. Upon looking into the southwest bedchamber, I noticed an electric candle was on. "That's strange," I thought. "It was dark last night. Had the collections team come and turned it on?" Not likely. The third floor isn't open to the public. Then it hit me. George Washington died on December 14th, 1799, and the next day, Martha Washington shut up the bedroom they shared and moved to the southwest bedchamber. Apparently, she's still marking that sad day. This last story is a little bit different, but I just had to include it. For much of 1979, a mysterious nocturnal wailing in the woods surrounding Mount Vernon spooked area residents. Residents of the neighborhood endured this wailing for months. Police helicopters hovered with searchlights. Patrol officers on foot crouched in the woods, radios at the ready. A long May night passed quietly. The Mount Vernon monster was nowhere to be found. This night, and the mystery that prevailed for the better part of 1979, was covered in a May 12, 1979 article in the Washington Post. "For the last 9 months, nocturnal screaming has come from a patch of woods about 1 mile from the historic home of George Washington." Theories abounded as to the source of the screaming, which the Post described as an eerie, muted wail, like someone being strangled in the shower. Residents offered differing explanations. A wild boar. Really loud frogs. Some guy blowing in a wine bottle. An owl. A broken microphone on a CB outfit. A parrot, a mouse with an amplifier, a strangled dog, the ghost of George Washington, and the ghost of George Washington's pigs. One resident described seeing a creature in her backyard, 6 feet tall and walking upright. Some neighborhood children captured audio of the wailing with portable cassette recorders in the middle of the night. But despite all efforts, the Mount Vernon monster, as the mysterious creature came to be known, never revealed its secrets. This didn't escape the notice of the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, which noted in its internal 1979 council minutes, "Reports on an alleged Mount Vernon monster have appeared in the Washington area newspapers and have been circulated around the country by the Associated Press. No one has seen the monster, but various people, including some Mount Vernon employees, claim to have heard its howls, screams, shrieks. Descriptions of the voice vary, from a wooded area within a mile of Mount Vernon." This mystery was never to be solved. So that brings 2023's Spooktacular to an end. Thank you all for once again indulging my love for all things Halloween and all things spooky. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Now that the Spooktacular is done, Yorkie will be returning to regular history topics. I'll also be returning to releasing new episodes every other week. Stay spooky, everyone. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. So that's it. That's the episode. Thank you so much for listening. You can reach me at dorkypod@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Let me know if I left something out or got something wrong, or let me know if there's something in particular in history that you'd like me to talk about. There's a Facebook group called Dorky Podcast, and all the other social medias are at Dorky Pod. Join them and be part of our growing community, but also to get extra tidbits about episode topics like facts and pictures. There's also a link to donate to the podcast on the website and in the show notes if you'd like. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're hearing it. It helps the podcast grow, but more importantly, your feedback will help me make this a better podcast. Until we meet again, friends.
Red rum, red rum.